All right, confidence intervals. When we draw a sample to compute an inferential statistic, that is our best estimate of the population parameter. Whether it's a mean, a standard deviation, a mean difference, a correlation, that's our best guess of what's going on in the population. We know two things. The statistic is unlikely to be exactly the same as the parameter, right? If we had perfect samples, we'd try to do it more often. But we are unlikely to have nailed it. And we are more confident in our estimate the larger the sample size. Confidence intervals are a way of capturing or expressing our confidence that the value of the parameter of interest is within a specified range. The middle of a confidence interval is always a point estimate. Then we put an interval around it, cleverly called an interval estimate, and we are confident that the real population parameter is somewhere in that interval. Hopefully, probably, closer to the point estimate than not. That's what a confidence interval tells you. Starting with the statistics drawn from the sample, within what range of values in the related population parameter likely to be. Three types of confidence intervals I want you to know about. You don't see them used all that often when you do the statistics, but you do see them as instead of p-values in some advanced models. In some advanced models, they don't give you a p-value, they give you a confidence interval. So one of the things we're going to be sure to know is how to pull a p-value out of a confidence interval. And then what else you get from the confidence interval that you don't get from the p-value. So confidence interval around a single mean, around a mean difference, and around a correlation. If we get those things to make some sense, everything's going to be easier. All right, a confidence interval for a single mean gives us an idea of the precision of the inferential estimate of the population mean. The most common confidence interval is 95%. Why? Because it corresponds to a p greater than 0.05 significance test. You don't have to. If you're going to start using confidence intervals, pay attention to what confidence intervals your research community uses. I work in some research communities where they live and die on a 50% confidence interval. Because they're stuck with small samples and they have to make decisions. And a 50% confidence interval is a whole lot better than really guessing. So I have a sample with a mean age of 19.5 years, a standard deviation of 2.5, and a sample size of 40. When you plug this in, your confidence interval centered at 19.5 plus or minus 0.286. So, we are not going to calculate confidence intervals by hand because it sucks. All right, you're going to fight me. Hold on. All right, so depending upon the browser you're in, some of your browsers don't like to download certain kinds of files. The first thing to try is to try copying the link address, going to a new tab, and just entering that. There is a problem, and I apologize for the problem. This confidence interval calculator won't run on most Macintoshes because of security on the Macintoshes. So you've got two choices. You can either find a friend or a friend with a computer just for these couple of, I think there's four of them on the homework. Or you can find an online calculator for confidence intervals. There's tons of them. This does some things that I don't know how to do in Excel. So we put in the mean, we put in the standard deviation, which is 2.5. and we put in the sample size, which is 40. And we pick 95% confidence interval, and we say compute. All right, what did I do? Oh, this is a 50. That explains it. And so it gives us the center of the confidence interval is the mean. It gives us the plus minus value, and it gives us the range. What we're saying is that our best guess of the population mean is still 19.5. That doesn't change. That's our best guess. We are 50% sure that the sample size is between 19.2 and 19.8. There's two choices. The first choice is when you're collecting the data, and that is how big's your sample size. The second is how much confidence do you need? Let's shift this up to a 95% confidence. And now we see that in order to be 95% confident that we've bracketed the population mean, we now have a range that varies by 0.8, which is about a third of a standard deviation. And we're now 95% sure it's somewhere between 18.7 and 20.3. Sample size increase makes the confidence interval go down. Why? Larger samples are more believable. This is just the mathematical instantiation of how much more believable. The smaller the standard deviation of the population, the less likely you are to miss the mean, and the smaller your confidence interval. This is why the statement, more is better, is a bad piece of advice for sampling. This is why the good piece of advice is more of the same is better. Yes?
Is that one of the reasons because the standard deviation would be smaller?
If you really are tapping your sample, you're going to get a smaller standard deviation than if you're tapping your sample and another without knowing you've tapped both. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. Because let's go back to what we had. And I say, well, in order to get a bigger sample of 100, I'm not sure what happened, but I ended up with a bigger, I ended up with a bigger standard deviation. Things did not get better, especially this way. Things did not get better. 2.5 times as many people, but in order to go get them, I broke my population mold. I'm now sampling from a population like this instead of where I'm supposed to be, and that bigger sample size didn't help my precision at all because I'm measuring from the wrong damn people. The statistic doesn't know that you're measuring from the wrong damn people. All it knows is that suddenly the standard deviation went up. And as the standard deviation goes up, the likelihood of nailing the mean with a single sample goes down. We're not checking on a population here like we did when we were doing t-tests. What we're just saying is my best guess is that it's 19 and I'm 95% sure that it's somewhere between 18.5 and 20.4. As the confidence center, as we need more confidence, the interval gets bigger. Because in order to be sure it's here, I have to look bigger to be more sure. We okay?
Yeah, why is it important to know that though?
Well, if I told you that the average age is, the estimate is 19 and a half, but it could be anywhere between 17 and 21.
Right.
You're thinking, what kind of sample is this? Okay, I sent you after 19-year-olds. You went out and you got 100 people. I paid for every one of those 100. You told me the 100 would be better than the 40. And still, it's a range from high school to graduated. Instead of the sophomores I sent you after. And that's the cool thing that you get out of the confidence interval, is the range of the confidence interval lets you know how to feel about the adequacy of that sample. And we'll come back to that. It's increasingly common to include whiskers on bar graphs. Whiskers can be any damn thing you want. Standard deviations, standard errors, or confidence intervals. Standard errors are the mean and confidence intervals, but not standard deviations are influenced by the sample size. The standard error of the mean will always be smaller and look better than the standard deviation. One standard error will be smaller than the confidence intervals. Two standard errors is basically a 95% confidence interval. Here's what you have to decide. What do you want those whiskers to represent? The variability in scores around the mean? That's what a standard deviation is for. The likelihood that you've captured the population mean within that range? That's what confidence intervals are for. Pick the statistic to go with the intent. Confidence interval between two means. This is the confidence interval equivalent of a two-group F-test. Gives us an idea of the precision of the inferential estimate of the mean difference. Of course, you'll need the mean of each group to compute this. You'll also need the standard deviation and N for each group, or the mean error for the ANOVA. All the information that's captured in the standard deviation and the N is also captured in the mean square error. That's why when you were reporting things in homework 3, we ask you to report the mean square error for ANOVA. Because if you give that to your reader, they can do confidence intervals if you haven't. So you got 24 experts with a mean age of 19.34, standard deviation 1.837. 18 novices with a mean age of 21.17, standard deviation. You get an ANOVA, p-value is less than 0.05, you're going to say those two means are different, that the experts are younger than the novices. The 95% confidence interval starts with the mean difference. There's a 1.8 mean difference between 19.37 and 21.17. The confidence interval ranges from 0.5 to 3. We are 95% sure that the real mean difference is somewhere between 0.5 and 3.1. So, if you need a 1-point mean difference in order to say there's a difference between the groups or to act on something, you're not sure that there's a 1-point difference. You're 95% sure the difference is so smaller than 0.5. It could be as big as 0.3. 99.9% confidence interval will be tighter. I'm sorry. Will be looser. More confidence, bigger range. More confidence, bigger range. More confidence, bigger range. If you want to be 99.9% sure, only one chance in 1,000 of making a mistake, then you've got a much bigger range. And notice, if you will, that this range includes zero. If you want to be 99.9% confidence that there's a difference between these groups, you can't. Because the difference between the groups varies from 4 points in one direction to 0.5 in the other. Yes?
So what do you do if you want a smaller range?
Pick less confidence. Let's go look. So this is 19.37. This is...
And that's like as a whole? to like do that? What if you want it?
Well, you're not changing anything. You're just you're not changing your means. You're not changing your standard deviations. Mm-hmm. You're just saying, what does it take to be this confident? Now, is it ethical? When you were growing up and had somewhere you wanted to go that you weren't supposed to go, did you know who to ask?
Yeah.
Did you know who not to ask?
Yeah.
Was that ethical? The question is, you have to tell somebody what confidence interval you're using when you make your decision. You can't pretend you're using this when you're using that, and vice versa.
Okay, and you just let them decide whether or not that's good.
And that's why people often present more than one.
Okay.
Because you just caught it. I want to give them, my reader, enough information that they can decide if they agree with me or not. You nailed it. Giving information is always ethical. Standard deviation is 1.8724 people. This is 21.17. This is 2.307. No, this is 2.307. Never type stuff in public. How many of these? 18. Thanks. So I am 95% sure that my mean difference of 1.8 estimated from my sample is somewhere between 0.538 and 0.306. If I want more confidence, I'm going to get a bigger range. If I want less confidence, I'm going to have a smaller range. If I don't have standard deviations and means, but I have the mean square error, I can still get calculations. Oh, I can't put, oh, fuck, okay, hold on. I broke it. It's very important to show you how to break it. I hope you appreciate this. Where the hell did it go? There it is. Nope. Good guess, though. Don't put zeros in here. They have to be blank. Because what it's doing is it's looking to see if there's a number here, and if it is, it uses it. So we would have just 19.37 and 21.17 and 4.203. What?
It threw in
zeros. Oh, now I'm confused. I wrote the frickin' thing. Oh! No. Okay, I really am confused. Maybe I need this. Yeah, you need the mean square error and the n. It's really cool if you write your own stuff and remember.
That's why we say put so much information in on this PSS if you're labeling it.
Because I don't remember dick, yes. It's true. All right, confidence interval for a correlation. This one's the most important. The reason it's most important is that it's different from the others. The other reason it's most important is the one you're most likely to use. Because what we're going to talk about today or Friday, we'll see, is turning every kind of analysis into an effect size. And the most common effect size used in behavioral sciences is an R. And so when you go through this whole meta-analysis to say, based on my review of all of these studies, my best guess that the correlation or the effect size is 0.3, you'd really like to have a confidence interval around that estimate. So even though you won't see a whole lot of confidence intervals around regular correlations, you will see them around effect sizes, particularly meta-analysis effect sizes. And because you're going to see them there, I want you to know the second reason that they're the most important is because they're different. There is a fundamental difference between correlation confidence intervals and all the others. Here we go. Gives you an idea of the precision of the inferential estimate of the correlation between the variables. You'll just need the correlation and the sample size. One thing, big thing, probably should have made it its own color. Correlation confidence intervals are not symmetrical around the R value. Because of the nature of the distribution of R, the larger an R value is, the more negatively skewed its distribution. And the smaller an R is, the more positively skewed its distribution. So you don't have symmetrical distributions. And so you should never see a correlation represented as an R value plus minus something. If you see correlation plus minus something, there's a problem. Either it's not the correlation you've come to know and love, it's something else being represented as R, or the person has boogered up. So confidence intervals around correlations have to be expressed as the interval. And so you plug in your correlation and you plug in your sample size and you pick your confidence interval and you compute. All right, pay close attention. This part's important. This is an essay question too. Null hypothesis significant testing of confidence intervals. Two different peoples recommend the use of confidence intervals. One group of people says we shouldn't be doing null hypothesis testing, we should be doing confidence intervals. Obviously, they want you to know confidence intervals. The other group of people who says correlations are awesome, significance tests of correlation do give us useful information. Is the relationship in the sample strong enough to conclude there's a relationship in the population? And if we do decide there's a relationship, that p-value tells us the probability that we just committed a type 1 error. Estimates the probability that we just committed a type 1 error. That's good. But a confidence interval would be even better. Give me the R and give me the confidence interval. Because you get more out of a null hypothesis test and a confidence interval than out of just a null hypothesis test. Let's look at that. The 95% confidence interval around a single mean leads to the same conclusion as a single sample t-test with p equals 0.05. The 95% confidence interval corresponds with a p of 0.05. When the 95% confidence interval does not include the hypothesized population value, we will reject the null. When the confidence interval does include it, we will retain the null. Okay? The null hypothesis significance test and a 95% confidence interval carry the same information. For example, I want to represent a population with a mean age of 21. So my null that I'm going to put in as my value in that single sample t-test is 21. My mean, standard deviation, and sample size. My t-value is 0.38. If I look up the critical value with 0.05, it's 2.02. I'm going to reject the null. I'm going to say that 19.5 is significantly different from my hypothesized value of 21. We good? Mean, null, different. Reject the null and conclude that my folks are younger than I intended them to be. Well, look at the 95% confidence interval. It's 19.5 plus or minus 0.08, which means I've got a range Notice that the hypothesized value is outside the confidence interval. That means my confidence interval doesn't include the hypothesized value. That means my sample is younger than the hypothesized value. How are we doing? And this is the important point. One end of the confidence interval always, one end of the 95% confidence interval always mimics the significance test with 0.05. This doesn't overlap with 21, so I'm 95% sure that my group is less than 21 years old on average. So one end of the confidence interval, in this case the upper end, one end of the confidence interval always gives you the significance test. But you get two other pieces of information. They could be as young as 18.69. And you look at the range. My confidence interval has got about a 1.5 year difference. If I'm trying to get sophomores and I'm at that end, I'm okay. If I'm trying to get sophomores and I'm at this end, I have a problem. You with me? So one end of the confidence interval always mimics the significance test. The other end of the confidence interval tells you how far away from the null things might be. And the size of the confidence interval tells you how confident you are in the sampling. Big confidence intervals shouldn't give you a lot of confidence. Does that make sense? Okay. Between group ANOVA and the confidence interval, about a mean difference. Your sample included 24 experts with a mean age of 19.3, 18 novices with a mean age of 21.2, and the difference is significant. So right now I'm thinking that my novices are older than my experts. If I do the 95% confidence interval, my best guess is that the age difference is 1.8 years with a range of plus or minus 0.129, which means I am 95% sure that the real mean difference is somewhere between half a year and 3 years. Notice, the null hypothesis for the ANOVA would be zero. So the small end of the confidence interval corresponds with the significance test. Notice that the confidence interval does not overlap zero. So when we look at the confidence interval, we would reject the null, and we would say there's a positive mean difference. That mean difference might be as big as 3 years. Could be as small as half a year. Could be as big as 3 years. How do I feel about that? Because that confidence interval gives you the range of the possible effects. And also, that's a 2.5 year range. That's a pretty big range. If I start looking at the standard deviations, I say, all right, so standard deviations right around 2 for a working age group, that's pretty good. But that's a pretty big confidence interval. Oh yeah, the whole damn thing's based on only 40 people. Maybe my problem with my big confidence interval is that I don't have a very strong sample. Because remember, standard deviations and sample sizes drive confidence intervals. And finally, the one that's going to be most important, because you're going to see it most often, is confidence intervals around a correlation. P is less than 0.05, so we would conclude that there's a positive relationship. The confidence interval tells us that we're 95% sure that the real correlation is somewhere between 0.16 and 0.67. The null hypothesis is zero. Correlation, right? Null hypothesis, zero. So the lower end of the confidence interval does not overlap zero, tells us that we would reject the null and conclude that the correlation is positive. How positive? Well, somewhere between 0.16 and 0.67, which is a hell of a range. You're telling me that correlation could be as small as 0.7 or as big as 0.67? I need a little more precision than that. I have two ways of narrowing that confidence interval. Less confidence, or go get a bigger sample, or go get another sample, go get several samples and do a meta-analysis. There's three pieces of information from a confidence interval. How small might it be? How big might it be? And how big's the range? One of those corresponds with the null hypothesis test. Always. The other one gives you information that you don't get anywhere else. And thinking about the range is a way of thinking about how comfortable you are with making a conclusion based on this sample. If I'm stuck with a confidence interval that big, I don't really want to bet the farm on this. Unless I know ahead of time that a correlation no bigger than this will be useful to me. Let's say I'm trying to decide whether to use age as an estimate of credit hours, or if I need to spend the money to go get actual credit hours, or spend the money on something else. Well, if this is a strong enough correlation to use, I'm fine with this. If I need at least a 0.3 in order to use this as a predictor, I'm not happy with this. So a confidence interval, don't waste it. The minimum value, the maximum value, and the spread all give us a basis for thinking about what do we have, how much do we trust it. And one end of that confidence interval always is the mimic of the significance test with the same p-value.